Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been to a parade where there was someone famous? Or you were excited just to see them because you were going to get to see them? Because they're famous? There are some elements of that here today with Jesus. Probably the closest thing we can relate Palm Sunday to is a parade. A parade of one as Jesus is entering the city of Jerusalem. It was a festive time. All kinds of pilgrims, roughly 200,000 maybe by some estimates, traveling to Jerusalem for the time of the Passover. They recognize Jesus as their King of Glory, as the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who would rule on David's throne. There was excitement as they got to see the prophet about whom they had heard so much. But this lesson before us today starts out with a strange command of Jesus, one from which, like the disciples, we too can learn. Jesus says, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." Now, I'm sure if it was me getting this command from Jesus, I would have said something dumb like, "Are you sure some stranger is going to let me walk off with their colt because the Lord needs it?" And yet we don't hear any of that from the disciples. They simply take Jesus at his word and go and find everything exactly as Jesus said. Jesus shows that he is God and that he knows all things. Now, I think it's safe to say that that's something that all of us know. Yet, do we make use of this and apply this knowledge in our lives? I mean, think about it. We have so many clear commands and comforting promises of God in his word. He loves us. He calls us his children. He promises to protect and guard and keep us. And yet, frequently, instead of taking God at his word, we question. Like little kids at times, we ask the question, why? Instead of simply trusting. Just for example, maybe for an illustration, how many people in this room are there that really understand the nuts and bolts of an airplane? I mean, more than lift and thrust, I mean, all the little details. Maybe one, two, couple. The rest of us were kind of clueless. And yet, when you've flown on a plane, you trust that the pilot knows what he's doing, that the plane's been inspected, that the company you bought the ticket from kind of knows what they're doing, right? You trust them. How much more so our God, who has almighty power, who knows all things? You see, it's not just God knows the little details, like where to find a colt and that its owners are going to let the disciples walk off with it because the Lord needs it. The Lord knows your future. He knows what's best for you, for your eternal good. And yet, so often, we have problems trusting because we think we know best. Because we want things to go the way we have planned them instead of trusting the one who knows all things. Who is Jesus? First of all, he is your God who knows all things. Now, try to picture Jesus riding by the crowd. Kind of an interesting sight as you stop to think about it. This grown man riding on a donkey's colt. Kind of a little odd when you start to think about it, isn't it? Why is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt? Well, first of all, that colt had never been ridden by anyone else. It was really set apart for this and Jesus to use. But as Jesus is riding in on the colt, people are also hailing him as a king. Well, kings, they normally rode on horses, big, powerful. So why again would Jesus be riding into Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey? Well, it showed even though a king, Jesus is not the kind of king that people expected. Well, his ministry wasn't what people expected either. Jesus often rebuked the religious leaders while showing compassion to the open sinners. At the same time, he pointed to himself as their savior. The reason Jesus was riding a colt, it showed his humility. As he entered the city of Jerusalem, his kingdom wasn't going to be an earthly kingdom. He wasn't going to win by showing his power. Jesus would win the victory in submitting to the will of his Father. Jesus would win the victory in submitting even to death, so that by his death, Jesus would gain the victory over sin and the devil. Now the crowd, they didn't understand this. The disciples, they didn't understand this. John says in his gospel, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Even though they did not understand, these pilgrims on their way into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover hailed Jesus as the one who would reign on David's throne. And yet, at the same time, don't we often approach Jesus from the same point of view? Isn't it easy to want a kind of king that the world would respect? To want a king that's going to fix all the problems that we have? To want a king that's going to bring world peace, fix world hunger, heal diseases, and make everyone prosperous? And yet, as much as at times we want a king like that, we have a king who is so much greater. It's not that Jesus has brought world peace. Jesus has made peace between sinful mankind and a holy God. We have a king who has defeated the devil. We have a king who laid down his own life for you and me in the fight. We have a king who has done everything for our salvation, everything for our eternity. The Palm Sunday crowd didn't quite understand these things yet. But as much as we know them, do we sometimes struggle with who Jesus is? On the one hand, you could say, no, we know these things. We know who Jesus is. We know he's our God. We know he's our Savior. So intellectually speaking, we don't struggle with the knowledge of Jesus' identity. But what about a little more practically speaking? I mean, you know, there's a difference between what we know and what we actually put into practice, right? There are a lot of people who know who Jesus is, but that isn't quite the same as grabbing hold of Jesus in faith and living in faith. For example, Jesus, when we recognize Jesus as a king, not just an earthly king, but God himself who rules all things in heaven and on earth, who's eternal and changeless, who's promised to use all things for the good of those who love him, when we recognize Jesus as that kind of king, what reason is there ever to be worried about anything? I mean, stop and think about that. What reason is there ever to be worried? Why would we ever doubt God? If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Yes. Or maybe we struggle with confessing Jesus before a sinful world that does not recognize Jesus as king. There can be different reasons why. Maybe it's a fear if I actually speak up that I might have to have an answer to someone that's asked me a question. Maybe it's a little bit more of a fear, well, if I speak up and people know who I am, then I'd have to actually live my faith more, otherwise they'd accuse me of being a hypocrite. I don't know that encouragements to fight against sin and temptation are bad, and to be held accountable by others, those aren't bad things. But understanding who Jesus is actually helps us understand our own identity. When we recognize Jesus as our Savior and our God, well, that brings us back to our own sinfulness, and that we need to continually turn away from those sins, that we need to be saved. And this isn't just a one-time thing, but day after day to continue to recognize that need for our Savior. When we recognize Jesus as our Savior, as our God, as the one who entered Jerusalem to go to the cross, to wash away our sins, to die there for them, how can we not speak up about it? How can we not take the opportunities that we have to share with others what we know? When we recognize Jesus, not just even as some paltry earthly ruler, but the God who made heaven and earth, the God who became flesh and blood to go to the cross for our sins, well, is there a little bit of shame? Is there nervousness? Whatever it is, we gotta remember who it is we're talking about. God Himself. God is on our side. And that, when we remember Jesus' identity and who He is, that encourages us and gives us, I guess, the motivation to speak up, the confidence to speak up and boldly confess who our Savior is and what He's done for us. When we remember why He rode into Jerusalem on that humble colt of a donkey, to go to the cross in humility, to submit Himself to death on the cross, to wash away our sins, that gives us comfort and confidence to boldly declare who Jesus is. Now, on Palm Sunday, it's easy to get caught up in some of the sights and sounds of Palm Sunday. I mean, you think of the parade, the pomp and circumstance going on along with it, the freshly cut palm branches laid on the road, the garments that people did, kind of rolling out the red carpet. There's a lot of things going on Palm Sunday. We got to hear the kids sing their hosannas just a little bit ago, and you joined in with them. And yet, in the midst of all that, we need to remember what Hosanna means. Lord, save us. We need to remember why Jesus came into Jerusalem, why He rode into Jerusalem. Not just to be some kind of earthly king, earthly ruler, but to go to the cross, to pay for our sins, to take them all away, to be our eternal God and King. He's our Savior that's done everything for the work of our salvation. So who is Jesus? Yes, He is our God that knows all things. And He is our Savior that went to the cross for us to do everything for us. And you know, that gives us comfort that all our sins have been washed away. Sins of those times when we've been too nervous to speak up. We've been too ashamed or whatever it may be to speak up. When we've been afraid, I might not have the right answer. I might not have the right words. All of those sins Jesus too has washed away. And that is something that builds us up, that encourages us to continue to live understanding and recognizing who Jesus is. And then, honestly, saying it, declaring it like little kids. Sometimes you can't get them to stop talking, right? You know what? That's not always the worst thing about them, is it? We'd be good to be a little bit more like that at times too, especially as we recognize who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Why would we want to stop talking about Him? Amen.